Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, I almost got scared there. All of a sudden, my phone wasn't, you know, picking up signal. Thank you. Welcome to the Iron Jaw Podcast on Blog Talk Radio. I love that intro. I don't know if any of you guys can hear it. One of my friends couldn't, but pretty cool. And I also got that drum beat. I may play around with some audio next time, but this time I really wanted to do the visual, give you more what to look at. You know, for the past few podcasts, starting out early, I just had my logo up. And, you know, last time I played with a few photos, not knowing how the slideshow would go. And it just plays over and over the visuals as you want them. This time I had about 20 pictures, including the Iron Jaw podcast logo. So you'll see a lot there, and a lot of it is going to be from last night's recommend. I want to dive right into here. I'm really confused. Looking at everything. I was on Wikipedia, just looking at quick results, you know, and I thought that excluding the pre-show and everything, because those have longer matches, because they are two matches on a two-hour pre-show, so you would have longer matches. Like the tag team match lasted nearly 10 minutes, and the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal lasted over 18, and was actually the second longest in the whole night, next to Triple H and Sting, which was longest at 18:36. But Seth Rollins cashed in his Money in the Bank briefcase and entered the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at a golden opportunity in the match, both men down, between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. And apparently, you know, that wasn't the plan the entire weekend. We should all know that wrestling script. I know that. But it's still fun to watch. And this actually gave me back my fanhood as a pro wrestling fan. I'm extremely shocked at the news I read. Let me read it to you off of Wrestling News Source. The original runtime for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship main event between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 31 on Sunday night was around 35 minutes long. Which means they were going to actually run about 35 minutes. However, the event was overrunning, and due to time constraints, WWE cut some time off the match. They also cut a Bray Wyatt versus Undertaker hype video before their match. And this actually really surprised me. You know, once I saw the time it took, which was 16:43, and, you know, just how it all played out. Why? Because, you know, and then when I saw this news article, it made sense, because why wouldn't you give more time to your main event? But if you watched WrestleMania last night, it was incredible. Like, just astonishing, amazing. You couldn't script anything better. You would even think a fan wrote it, of how everything played out. Daniel Bryan win the WWE Intercontinental title one night after inducting Connor the Crusher Mahalik, who passed away from cancer last year and was very close to Daniel Bryan. John Cena, you know, ended Rusev's undefeated streak and took the United States title. And Undertaker, you know, seeking revenge and got that redemption by beating Bray Wyatt last night. But you also had so many, you know, oh my goodness, appearances. Like, during the Triple H and Sting match, you saw D-Generation X come out and, you know, help. And it was announced before the match the only way you could win was pinfall or submission, which ruled out any DQs or countout. And then the NWO, Hall, Nash, and Hogan, you know, came out and attacked DX. By the way, X-Pac was, you know, aligned with DX right there. So it really was you know, a lot. Oh, and by the way, The Rock returned last night, as well as bringing Ronda Rousey in the ring to, you know, fight Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. That was going. And I will dig into that a little later on. I'm just messing with you. Rollins, you know, cashed in, you know, won. If I remember this correct, okay, you know, Rollins had already cashed in and everything. Lesnar had Reigns up in the F5. No, Lesnar had Rollins. Reigns speared Lesnar. And then Rollins hit the curb stomp on Reigns. Man, my memory's bad. But that's how it ended. So, Lesnar ending the streak last year and being so dominant, didn't even be pinned to lose the title. And, you know, Lesnar and Reigns, you know, they went at it last night. Lesnar dominated the match early, and you were like, oh my goodness, this is going to be like what we've seen the past year. And then, you know, Roman Reigns fight his back and, you know, hit some of his big moves. And it was just a perfect, you know, setup, because now you can have Rollins and Lesnar in a rematch at Extreme Rules, if Lesnar decides to work at Extreme Rules. And you can throw Roman Reigns around, you know, having to improve himself. He has to improve and get better. And, you know, maybe he goes into a mid-card, you know, rivalry of some sort. Not for a title. You could look anywhere as, you know, Bad News Barrett, Luke Harper. Even Rusev. I would like to see Reigns and Rusev, because they both have a lot to work on. And I am a Reigns fan. You know, that was scripted perfectly. Everyone was like, oh, it's predictable. No, my jaw dropped when Seth Rollins came out. You know, the ring was in the middle of the stadium, the 50-yard line, you know, give or take. So Seth Rollins running down, you know, I forgot to time his 4-yard dash. I was that surprised. It was incredible. Incredible. You have to watch it. But there's a lot of controversy over Triple H versus Sting that I would love to address. You see, Triple H defeated Sting last night. As I mentioned, the longest match. No disqualification, no count out. You know, I explained to you how NWO and DX came out. But I actually thought that it ended earlier than expected. And that's what it seemed like, because it wasn't Lesnar and Reigns, like when, you know, the third hand had the mat, you know, you were shocked that Undertaker lost. It was more like, was Sting supposed to kick out? Because, you know, Triple H, you know, hit him with sledgehammer, and, you know, it was that. And you could see the reaction of, you know, DX, you could see the reaction of NWO, and they were like, what just happened here? And it took a long time for DX to actually enter the ring and celebrate with Triple H, and Sting got out with NWO, which was really weird. Who would ever think that the NWO and Sting would be aligned? Beat me. Yeah, it's so predictable. NWO helping out Sting. Oh, and I thought it was a nostalgic match. It was actually, you know, pretty good. I mean, it had that Monday Night War. It appealed to the ones who watched the Attitude Era, or the Monday Night War. I didn't, at least live. I've watched a lot of documentaries and interviews, and I've done my homework. But man, you know, this appealed to you guys a lot. It kind of had that weird feeling. Did this match end early? I don't think we'll see Triple H and Sting again. But, you know, I think they only didn't know Sting's coming back. You know, this may have been a one and done, you know, the WWE version rather than college basketball. And so, who knows? Everyone's wanting Sting and Undertaker. I could probably see that. Not after last year. I thought Undertaker was done, but he came back this year, and, you know, he wasn't in the best shape. I mean, lifting out Bray Wyatt several times, Tombstone Piledriver situation, I mean, it was good. I don't know if Undertaker and Sting would be, you know, as good as either two of those matches, but it would give you that appeal. And I was very against this, but, you know, sometimes nostalgia has won over the past year, and especially last night at WrestleMania. But people had more of a problem, and that was my problem. That ended too early or too, like, what just happened. Do you really just go down with one sledgehammer? And, you know, I thought it'd be ended by Pedigree or, you know, Scorpion Death Drop, whatever it may be. Many people's problems were Triple H Wayne. And it wasn't, fans want this, fans want that. It was actually, you know, Sting was, you know, this was his first WWE match, and he lost, you know, to Triple H. And normally you've seen Triple H, you know, lose to guys like Brock Lesnar or Daniel Bryan to get him, you know, over at that big spot. You know, and Triple H has lost a lot, you know, since, you know, officially retiring and, you know, getting into the business side of things. Would win, you know, wrestle a few more matches. And now it's all up in the air. But let me point out something. And also, I want to say that I am accepting callers. I will accept maybe one call, maybe two, depending on how much time. The guest call-in is 347-989-0920. So call into the Iron Jaw podcast. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your unbiased thoughts. I would like to claim a disclaimer here. I do not allow any vulgarity on my show. None at all. So if I do hear vulgar language, I will end the call no matter how much ties I have to you, no matter how much I have you as a friend, no matter how much I love you, I will have to exit out you and end your call and just continue somewhere. And I've actually talked for 16 minutes. Wow. Can you believe they're going in my mouth and, you know, doing that work? Oh. And I apologize, guys. Hopefully I'll get back soon. But until then, you know, you can like me on my Facebook page, Michael Davis. My Facebook professional page, I'll talk wrestling, I'll talk sports, and you can, you know, talk to me on there. I do like inboxing people, but, you know, I'm trying to get that page big. But let me, you know, explain this to you. That epic moment between The Rock and Ronda Rousey getting in the ring with Triple H never happened. It never happened without Triple H going over again. So you have to think, you know, like, yeah, you get about 16 more minutes of the Lesnar and Reigns match, which could have been good. I mean, probably for the last 5 or 10, you know, it's just, you know, guys tired. But you got The Rock and Ronda Rousey in the ring. Like, and I actually, you know, scratch my head at, like, there's no celebrity on the match card. Like, this is the first time in a few years they haven't had celebrities involved. You know, they've had Donald Trump. They've had Arnold Schwarzenegger. They've had, you know, Maria Menounos. You know, they've had so many celebrities in matches. But Ronda Rousey's a credible one, and they've actually wanted her to be in a wrestle match. Fans weren't. They said, can Ronda Rousey, you know, get to Stephanie? And they actually did that. You know, and this actually sets up really, really good because The Rock and Triple H teased, you know, earlier last year, not earlier, but, you know, a few months ago before Sting and everything, before that match was made, obviously. But they've been wanting Triple H and The Rock one more time, and I do too. I really want Triple H and The Rock one more time. And, you know, it doesn't set up next year's Mania. That's what people are thinking. No, it sets up SummerSlam. Because, you know, what are you going to get at SummerSlam? You're going to get Lesnar, you know. You're going to get Lesnar and get somebody. You know, you're going to have Orton. You're going to have Cena. You're going to have Rusev, Ambrose, Rollins, Reigns, Bray Wyatt. But you need those two high profile to appeal different fan bases, different people with different mindsets into your show, like they did with WrestleMania. You know, they appealed to the Monday Night War with Triple H and Sting. You know, they appealed to the independent card with having, you know, Daniel Bryan, Luke Harper. And there. You just, and they appeal to, you know, under Faker fans, you know, the strict. I think I said under Faker. That was a bad 10-second segment right there. But you'll have The Rock and Triple H, and you'll have Rousey and Stephanie. And then you can fill out the rest of the card however you want, because people will want to see those two non-title matches. You know, you just can't go wrong. And, you know, The Rock can make his Brock appearance here and there, and, you know, a couple weeks leading up. So it works out great for everybody. I do have no callers in right now, so think of that as you would. I don't know if I touched on this or not last podcast, but The Undertaker and Bray Wyatt. You know, it lasted 15 minutes. Undertaker looked not in good shape. People are saying Undertaker looked good last night. Not necessarily. He just looked better than what you remember him as. I saw a photo of Undertaker a few months back, and I was like, "You are great, and you are looking old. You look." He looked like he was 70 years old. And then when they announced him, he's actually 50, by the way. When they actually announced him for WrestleMania against Bray Wyatt, I'm like, are you going to have Bray Wyatt lose to a grandpa? You know, a grandpa, no offense. Or are you going to have Undertaker lose to WrestleMania? We got that answer by The Undertaker putting Bray Wyatt down. But somehow, you know, they kept it together. They kept it together, and that's really, really good. And I'm looking. I actually had someone. I had someone scheduled to call in to the Iron Jaw podcast. You know, so. And within the 10-minute range, I don't think I'll be able to get them in. Hopefully that changes or different. And on the pre-show, Big Show beat Damian Mizdow. After Damian Mizdow, you know, turned on the Miz, and I actually thought Damian Mizdow was who could probably win this this Battle Royal, but Big Show won. And, you know, that sort of surprised me, honestly, because guess what? Big Show has never won a Battle Royal. Not a Battle Royal, not a Royal Rumble. Same with Kane. And, you know, I actually, to keep the Big Show's credibility, I didn't even realize this before this last Sunday. You kind of had to have Big Show win to keep his credibility. Yes, you could push, you know, some superstars like Bo Dallas, Damian Mizdow, you know, those sort of guys with this. But, you know, Big Show was taken as a joke. You know, he's been taken as a joke for the last years. I was about to say 6 months, but he's been a joke for years. And for him to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which is actually really cool because you couldn't have underdogs. You know, you can't really have, you know, the little guy, you know, win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. They had Cesaro last year, which was good, you know, and how they eliminated, you know, Cesaro last eliminating Big Show. So once it got down to the final two, you were like, are they going to have Big Show lose second again? You know, just fairly getting eliminated. So I know this has been a pretty poor podcast to follow up with. By the way, thank you. Thank you for doing all you did last podcast, me hyping up WrestleMania and talking about Brock Lesnar resigning. I actually got 7 live listeners, which was the most ever for the Iron Jaw podcast, and I actually had 17 archives. And if you don't, that was a pretty big deal because it was the most live listeners into the podcast, as well as the 3rd most ever, combined the archive, which you can go in and, you know, re-listen or, you know, listen later on. So here's some news that WWE released. And I actually want to nitpick, if I may, because I fell in love with wrestling once again last night. But WWE announced on their website that Sheamus is going to return tonight on Monday Night Raw. You know, and Wrestling News Source, I love to use that site. Is anyone else, WrestlingNewsSource.com? They better pay me for, you know, 3, 4, 5 plugins this episode. But I'm quoting from this right now. It was rumored he would have a role to play at WrestleMania last night. That was either scrapped or never even planned. The thing is, I don't think he could, you know, return last night unless, you know, it was into the ladder match where, you know, someone was about to get and, you know, he cost them or something like that, which is really weird, but it has happened before. I can't remember who it was. It was maybe Matt Hardy jumping the barricade and, you know, attacking MVP. I could be wrong about those two, though. Don't take my word for it. You know, that was going purely on memory. But why announce Sheamus tonight? Like, you have all the momentum in the world. Everyone's going to tune into Raw. If you watch WrestleMania last night, you are going to turn into Raw tonight and find out what's going to happen. Will Brock Lesnar show? What's going to happen? Because this was amazing. Last night was amazing. And, you know, normally the Raw after WrestleMania is really top-notch. Well, not top-notch, because we've seen better episodes of Raw, but you're always excited the night after WrestleMania. So why not have Sheamus return later on that night, by big surprise? Why not? But WWE actually confirmed this on their website earlier today. And it also brings up a good point because why do they even announce their Hall of Fame inductees? You know? Like, go find out who's, like, they'll announce it on their website, they'll announce it on their Twitter, Facebook, and promote to the whole world. And then, you know, when Ron comes up, you know, they're about to announce the inductee, and they're like, find out who the special inductee is into the Hall of Fame next, live here on Monday Night Raw. We already know. So you're telling us that we can go to use the bathroom and we won't miss a thing. We may miss a video package that we can later look up on the internet, you know, if it was so special. But you just say, I can go get a bowl of ice cream. So 3 minutes left. I am not going to get that first caller in. I really do want to get a caller in now. I'm actually going to talk for the next 3 minutes about the Final Four. And I don't even know how I can fit this all in, but I'm gonna have to. And by the way, I actually had one good bracket. I had, you know, I had 154, and then the next are like 35, 18, 16, 15, and Duke, my Duke one is actually 35. But my, not my first, but my second Wisconsin bracket actually has, you know, 70.3% left. You know, not bad, but you know, you guys are going to discredit because, you know, I lost and everything. But actually, this is really cool. I had three of the four teams making it in this fifth bracket of mine. You know, I had Duke. I didn't have Duke. I had Kentucky, Wisconsin, Michigan State. I did not have Duke. My favorite team, I didn't have them. And I actually had Iowa State winning. And on that, oh yeah, Iowa State. Why did Iowa State have to lose the round of 64? And if you didn't hear me, I was beating my laptop. So this was my last gasp, you know. So I appreciate all of you turning in. As I close, I would love to say a special thank you to Tall Wrestling Entertainment. That's an event I joined in there, allowing me to promote my podcast on there, as well as Wrestle Kingdom. It's actually wrestlekingdom.ca, their main blogging site that I am breaking news about to write for, as well as I'm a part of their forum, WrestleKingdom.board.net. I will link it to you on my professional Facebook page for you guys to join. I am so excited for those guys. Yes, and they are allowing me to promote my podcast on there. So thank you for listening, and I am going to try to play out Kalimba by Mr. Scruff as I go out. So thank you for listening. See you guys.